Precious Yah, lead me home. Thank you, Vonda Bierman, for that quick snippet there from her country album, Vonda Bierman, from Pleasant Hill. In Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, Messiah is speaking. That's your Messiah, who says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is your life, we're speaking. Matthew 6, 21 and 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. See also Deuteronomy 15:9 and Luke 11:34. So back to Matthew 6:23 now. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay, would the title of that be, "The Light is Dark"? Or would the title be, The Darkness is Darker. We don't want to go into the tunnel and just see darkness. We want to come out of the first tunnel, go into the second tunnel, which is some darkness, and then come out and see the light. Out of the second and the third and the fourth tunnels, we see the light. We see Messiah, who is our light. Verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and Mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Is not the body more than raiment?" Also see Psalm 50, 10 through 16. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" So we're talking about the doctrine of self-esteem in the churches that they borrowed from Christian pop psychology or from secular psychology. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" Or in these days, to her CEO stature. "And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Yes, they are finite. They have a finish. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his esteem, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall you not much more clothe you, or he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought of this, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things, but seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's Matthew 6:33. "Seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And we could dwell on that very last sentence itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yes, there is a lot in current events going on, but we're not going to deal with that. Not with current events, but today we're speaking of the Messiah. We're also speaking about the new moons, about eternal security, once saved, always saved, and who is the Pope? Who is your Pope or national leader of our faith? Do we take Yahweh's word for it? Turn back to Matthew 4:4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh." Messianics these days are cleverly being pulled aside to the teachings of eternal security, once saved, always saved. Listen to these. Hebrews chapter 3. "For we are made partakers of Messiah if, on the condition that, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." and exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Well, there it is in 12, so Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Yahweh. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. In 10:26 of the book of Hebrews, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more offering for sin. Hebrews 6:4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Ruach HaKadosh and have tasted the good word of Yahweh and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away from what? Fall away from having been saved. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify or impale to themselves the Son of Yahweh afresh, and put him to an open shame. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. That word might is also used in John 3:16. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That's the Messiah. He that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How can you draw back if you weren't saved in the first place? No, you were saved, and then you drew back, or I drew back. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, for we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang hand down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and pureness and kodesh. Follow peace with all men and pureness, without which no man shall see Yahweh. So we have to follow peace and be pure, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace or unmerited favor. Looking diligently, any man fail of the favor of Yahweh, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See Deuteronomy 29:18. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meal Esau sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, it was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. That you are come unto Mount Zion, in verse 22. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living mighty one, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of heavenly messengers, to the general assembly, and the assembly of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to Yahweh, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Messiah, the mediator of the new covenant. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Messiah, Yahushua Messiah, is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Find that also in Malachi 3:6. Be not carried above with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with unmerited favor, not with meats which have not profited them that have corrupted therein. Or that word meats could be offerings. So not with offerings which have not profited them. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, concerning sacrifices. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the set apart place by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore, Yahushua, the Messiah also, that he might set apart, or they use the word sanctify that we don't use. He might set apart the people with his own blood. He suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him with outside the camp, or without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We seek the city to come. You know, that's New Jerusalem, to be with him. By him, therefore, let us offer the offering of praise to Yahweh continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such offerings Yahweh is well pleased. And then we'll leave off there in Hebrews 13. Now we have to take a break. James even tells us about pure religion there, James chapter 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is James who said this, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, so be the part of an evangelist or an admonishing person, or have the gift of exhortation here, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That was the last two verses of James. And then in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not, so their judgment is coming. For if Yahweh spared not the messengers that sinned, excuse me, I'll use the word angels there, that would be more appropriate, because that's not a good thing. If Yahweh spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example, or ensample, unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 9, Yahweh knows how to deliver the goodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So there's some more exhortation for you that I've kept and always in my mind, knowing this in the scriptures here, such as 2 Peter chapter 2. And then later it says in verse 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words, speaking of some of our leaders, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, W-A-N-T-O-N-N-E-S-S, wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promised them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Bondage. Also see Ezekiel 13:22 and Romans 6:16. So, while they promise them liberty, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the they have escaped that, they were saved, they were washed in the blood of Messiah, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh, the Master and Savior, Yahushua Messiah, but then they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Where it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known to turn from the pure commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, in chapter 26:11, Proverbs, the dog, or the goyim, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire again. Verse 16:17, as also in all of Paul's epistles, speaking in these things, which are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable, even though they go to Multnomah Bible College or equivalent, as they do also, they twist the other scriptures unto their own destruction. The other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, beware that you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in unmerited favor and in the knowledge of the Master and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. To him be esteem, both now and forever. All praise unto the Father and unto the Son, Yahushua. Our prayer is that may Yahushua Messiah be magnified today, not above our Heavenly Father, but, well, let's look at John 5:23, Yochanan 5:23. If you believe the authority of Scripture. John 5, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. What? All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Yes, that's in the Word. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Another witness, John, or Yochanan 14:9. The Messiah saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? One of the earliest prophecies of the coming of Messiah, the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, is in Deuteronomy 18:15. Yahweh, thy sovereign, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of Yahweh, thy sovereign, in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh, my sovereign, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And Yahweh said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command them. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And the fulfillment of that in Acts 3:22, Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. And he shall send the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which Yah has spoken by the mouth of all his pure prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, now here's that fulfillment, Moses said unto the fathers, A prophet shall Yahweh your Yah raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's Deuteronomy 18:15 and Acts 3:22, where we find the fulfillment of Deuteronomy. So what purpose did the Messiah come? Let's look up 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, that Yahushua Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Yahushua Messiah might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should thereafter or hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Yah, be honor and splendor forever and ever. Hallelujah. And John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Yahushua Messiah coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, the Lamb is that Messiah. Matthew 1:18, to the end of verse 25. And the question is, what is the meaning of the word Yahusha, the word Messiah? So it's chapter 1 and verse 18. And this speaks of the birth of Messiah. Now the birth of Messiah was on this wise, when as his mother Miriam was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Ruach HaKadosh spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. That word husband there could mean the espoused husband, because they had not consummated the marriage yet. It said before they came together. They had not yet consummated their marriage, Joseph and Miriam. But while Joseph thought in these things, behold, the messenger of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Ruach HaKadosh. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahusha, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Yahusha comes from Joshua, or Yasha, in the book of Joshua. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yahweh by the prophet, saying in Isaiah 7, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Immanuel, which being interpreted is Yahweh with us. They'll call his name Immanuel, Yahweh is with us. Actually, a title. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the messenger of Yahweh had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yahusha. Yahusha, born of a virgin, prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Matthew 1:18. And to end the question of, is the Messiah born of a virgin? Do you think that the Messiah could have been born of a virgin without looking at the scriptures or knowing them? Do you think that Messiah was born of a virgin? Well, maybe a better question is, do you have the faith to believe if somebody just told you, well, he's the Messiah. He was born of a virgin. He's from the Father, and he is our Messiah. He's the Son of Yahweh. Do you believe that on faith alone, that this person told you that? Well, I hope you would believe that the Scripture, that you recognize the authority of Scripture that had just told us, if that's proper, just had told us in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, to fulfill Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Matthew 1, that Messiah was born of a virgin. And that means a woman that had not had marital relations with a husband at this point, with any man. She was a virgin, according to the Scripture. So now, yes, I do believe by faith, that is, by the word of Yahweh, that he is born of a virgin. Don't let anybody, a messianic leader, or anybody throw Messiah in the ditch and say that he is not born of a virgin, or that he is not the son of Yah, or that he is not to be honored as the Father is honored, as we read there in the book of John, John 5:23. All men, now this is Messiah speaking, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So, of course, the Father is greater in esteem and greater in authority. Then we see in John, the book of John, we read there, now, in John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Messiah coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of Yah, which taketh away the sin of the world. And in Luke 2:12, it's the same story there about the birth of Messiah. When, as his mother Miriam was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Ruach HaKadosh. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, minded to put her away privately. But while he thought in these things, behold, the messenger appeared unto him in a dream, the messenger of Yahweh, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name not Jesus, the Greek goddess of healing, no, not Jesus, there is no Hispanic in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but Yahusha, or some say Yahshua, Yahusha. So I'm taking out that J-E-S-U-S. I had learned that and believed that for 50 years. But I spoke as a child when I was a child in Yahweh. So she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Yahusha, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yahweh by the prophet Isaiah, saying, And behold, a virgin shall be called with child. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Yahweh with us. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the messenger Yahweh had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Yahusha, not Jesus, not Iesu, the Greek goddess of healing. The Evangel of John, in the beginning was the Word, W-O-R-D. And the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning with Yah. See John 20:28 and Revelation 19:13. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from Yah, whose name was Yochanan. The same came for a witness, to bear light, bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave power to them to become the sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name, the name of Yahusha, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, the Messiah, Yahusha, some say Yeshua, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his splendor, the splendor as of the only begotten of the Father, full of unmerited favor and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received an unmerited favor for unmerited favor. For the law was given by Moses. Unmerited favor and truth came Yahushua HaMashiach, or unmerited favor or grace and truth came through Yahushua HaMashiach. The law came through Moses. No man has seen Yahweh at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. But no man has seen Yahweh at any time, not Adam, not Moses, not Noah, or not Noah and then Moses. So that was John 1:14, and we spoke about the Messiahship and being the Son of Yahweh. So no matter who tries to throw Messiah in the ditch, don't follow them, or you'll wind up there too. Some of these leaders, national leaders, go around that will tell you that only such things are necessary as they say. But what does the Scripture say? What does the Scripture say about keeping the Sabbath days, the Sabbath day of the seventh day, and the new moons? Colossians 2:16, let no man judge you in respect of a new moon, a Sabbath day, feast day, or let me quote this directly here. Let no man judge you in meat or drink, nor in respect of, or that could be in eating or drinking, or in respect of a feast day, new moon, or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah. Now, would that just be any body of Messiah? That would be Joe Flunky's assembly down the street, who publishes the, the popular Messianics magazine. Well, I just made that up. Their special activities include King James Version Bible burning parties, Sabbath breaking camp, Hebrew Pride Day, Evening Liturgy Lounge and Dancing, March of the Corrupted Alexandrian Scrolls, and then vacuum the church before Sabbath service is over. Celebrate Christmas. Do it in July. Eat oysters and swallow them. No, seriously, the church is that today. That is where they are. And you're not included in that bunch of backsliders, or you probably wouldn't have been this far or reading and listening to us. But we're talking about the new moons. We read Colossians 2:16. Then we can read Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 regards the feasts in verse 13-14 in a negative context. Your Sabbaths and feasts, that was the way that people were keeping them in those days was somewhat similar to the way some of us keep it these days, not according to the Word. And Yahweh was sick of their man-made feasts, the way that they made them. He was not sick of his feasts. For it says here later in Isaiah 66:23, the bad news is Isaiah 1, but the good news, Isaiah 66:22, from one Sabbath to another and one new moon to another, we shall all come to worship the King of Kings. Yes. And I see that wasn't a... Oh, no, here it is. Now I've got the direct quote. As the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed in your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh, or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For the worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. So it's not bondage to praise Yahweh, the Deliverer and Savior. 1 Chronicles 23:27, and another reference, Jeremiah 31:35, and Deuteronomy 16 shows that the new moons are ordinances to be kept. So that was, if you miss that, 1 Chronicles 23:27, Jeremiah 31:35, and Ezekiel 45:25 through Ezekiel 46:3. It groups the feasts, the new moons, as solemnities. And there were daily offerings, of course, every day of the year, but there are many more offerings on the new moons, showing that they were special. So, I have to make an addition on the printed page there. There it goes. So, Ezekiel 45:25 groups the Sabbath feasts and new moons as all solemnities. Ezekiel 46:3 is a direct call in the word to worship Yahweh. Psalm 104:19, He appointed the moon for seasons, for moeds. The sun knows his going down. Also in Genesis 1:14, the moons are appointed seasons, or moeds, the Hebrew word moed. Psalm 81:1-4, Sing aloud unto Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh, our strength. Sing aloud unto Yahweh, our strength. Make a joyful sound unto Yahweh of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, the moed, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of Yahweh of Jacob. Now, in many versions, they use past tense. They use the verb was. I don't believe that's correct. It's an added word, so because it's in italics. So I'm going to say that for this is a statute for Israel and a law of the Yahweh of Jacob. Some more new moon scriptures. Amos 8:5, Nehemiah 10:33, Nehemiah 13, so that's 10:33, and Nehemiah 13:19 have regulations with the Sabbath and the new moon. And what does this come out to in respect of the new moon? Well, the new moons are to be upheld similar to the non-high days of Sukkot and Pesach, non-high days of unleavened bread and Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles. But it says, let no man judge you, but let the body of Messiah judge you, because the new moons foreshadow things to come, new beginnings. And it was kept by Jews and Gentiles. Those Colossians were not all Jews, they were Gentiles. Let the body of Messiah judge, and not outsiders, or not some dumb, not some leader who doesn't really know all the truth about Yahweh's Torah. Or maybe a group of people who don't really know. No, we don't want to listen to that voice. We're going to listen to the scriptures. The scriptures will interpret what our doctrine is, what our teaching, what our main way of walking in Yahweh's word. And we've received lots of studies on the names, trying to convince us otherwise, or different ways of reckoning timing and new moon, for example, but we may consider those studies Be patient about that. If our view differs from yours, be assured it is not a personal attack in your character or study. A new moon, by the way, is something visible. It doesn't just disappear, such as a conjunction. A new moon is the crescent, is something visible. And we don't worship it. There's a difference between astrology and astronomy. It doesn't say anything about the full moon having to fall on a first high day. So we don't move the new day of the month or the new moon back 3 or 4 days. But others may have methods that may have some merit. And I thank you very much for joining us. The time for this report was about 43 minutes or less. And let us know what your needs are. Not financially. We'll certainly pray for you. But as far as sending money, that's another question there, especially an unsolicited email that comes to me. That's Matthew 5:48. Therefore, be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Know the way by reading the Word, and be grafted into the good olive tree, Messiah. May He bless you. Shalom.